I'm Andy, I'm from the internet, and it's nice to see some of the other guys from the internet here today. We haven't seen each other since the Christmas party, it's lovely to be with you. I've spent the last 5 years of my life doing, I guess, kind of internet for social projects. That's my thing, and I do that through writing things like Social by Social, Local by Social, advising organisations in the social sector how to transform their businesses and achieve more impact. And I also do startups such as schooloveverything.com, if you've heard of that. And the internet really is an amazing technology. And it's amazing partly because it puts in the power of each of our individual hands the broadcast capability and the organising capacity of the state, of media outlets, of large corporations. It enables a six-year-old girl to make a film in her bedroom and have it seen by more people than watch the 10 o'clock news. It's extraordinary. And the interesting thing about it is that it is a different type of technology than we are used to. The internet is, and insert buzzword here for those on Twitter, the internet is a post-industrial technology, he says. What does that mean? Well, it means that this is not a mass production tool. It actually enables us, rather than going central and centralizing things and then pushing them out, it enables us to go laterally, peer-to-peer, and to do things in a radically more efficient way. It means actually, to use a commercial model, it's probably getting to the point where it's more efficient to create a community of people designing badges for their friends and neighbours and buying your home badge making kit and shipping and selling through your site to their neighbours than it is to go and build a factory in China and to guess what your consumers might want and to mass produce a big pile of badges that you hope people will buy. It's a completely different model of doing business, and we're only just seeing the beginnings of how it works. So my question is, what if you apply that to social problems, to social impact? What if you reshape public services that way, charities that way, campaigns that way? And that brings me to the project that I'm working on at the moment. My current social enterprise is called Mind Apples, and we're asking, what's the five a day for your mind? And we believe everybody has a different one. We want to know what five things you do that work for you. And I have a gift for you all, which is some Mind Apples. Please take one, pass it on. There won't be enough for everyone, but hey, that's what I think. In fact, what I'm giving you is an invitation to give a gift to me. Because Mind Apples started for me, not as a project for me to figure out the answer to the universe and tell everybody how it worked, but to ask for help. I'd like to know what works for you, because I'm trying to figure out what works for me. And if we all share the five things that work for us and support each other to do them, I think we get a radically new culture for mental health. We turn mental health into something that's positive, it's engaging, it's interesting. And we actually create a culture of good habits that supplements all the clinical provision, that works the way that it does in heart disease or in smoking prevention. And we use the internet to scale that up, and so we get mass individualism and community building through the tech, but also through physical things. It's a culture. It's not tools. It's a culture. And so my invitation, my theory about giving, is stop thinking about giving as a central activity that we can go to organise centrally and then deliver. What actually we have the opportunity to do is there are a whole load of people out there, some of whom are in this room, who are finding ways for individuals to give a little something, probably just a bit of their wisdom, a bit of their time, something little to contribute, which, if added up together, creates something far bigger than the sum of its parts. And so we don't necessarily need to be thinking about raising £20 million to start a new organisation that's centrally funded, that works outwards, that broadcasts mass solutions to a population that actually really didn't know what they were being engaged in the first place. What we have an opportunity to do, and this is an invitation to the public sector, but also to philanthropists, is to scan the horizon, see what's working, see what's engaging people on the ground, and then to provide a little bit of money to provide the infrastructure to link those people together and to turn it into something bigger. Philanthropy and government action in the big society context for me is about amplification of individual action. And that does cost money, but it's a lot cheaper than trying to mass produce culture. But it does mean that we need to learn how to work from the big to the small. Mind Apples is tiny. We don't have much budget. We're almost entirely voluntary. But we can achieve impact. It means we are talking to Mind, Mental Health Foundation, Department of Health. Those organisations are huge. We are tiny. We need to figure out how to make that work. In Mind Apples, I call myself the head gardener, which is a silly pun, but has a slight purpose behind it, which is that we have talked for a long time about the relationship between the centre and the grassroots. And we've had various different methods for scaling up between big and small. And one is the wild of the market, which pits us against each other to compete for scarcity. Another is the factory, which central government will mass produce a solution and back it and broadcast it out. The third way, I believe, is the garden. A big society is a garden. And we need to create the conditions for growth. It needs to be weeded, it needs to be gardened, it needs to be safe. But then the flowers bloom themselves. Thank you.